Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning. It is Friday. It is not 2 p.m. It is 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. And my name is Fayola Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. Today, I am absolutely excited. I cannot contain it. We are not broadcasting today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time because this weekend is a special weekend in the state of Florida. I am so proud to be a Democrat. And this weekend, we are having the State of Florida Democratic Party's convention here in the beautiful area of Orlando, Florida, right in the middle of our wonderful state. And so I'm excited today, as today's show will be talking about your civic duty, as well as why you should be involved in politics. Why should you be active in not only choosing who the next president of the country is going to be, but who's going to be your city commissioner, your county commissioner, who are going to be your councilmen, and any other municipalities? Because sometimes we always, especially during the presidential elections, we focus on the presidential elections, on the federal level, all the different candidates, but then we forget about our local levels. So I'm excited today, as I grew up in politics and I did not want to get involved, but recently God has just put a fire in my bones, realizing that I've been called to be involved in politics one way, shape, or form. And so today I want to share some insights with you all as why you should be involved if you're not involved, and if you are already involved, why you should be more involved and take it to the next level. So as today is Friday, and usually we talk about various topics in the show, we go from business to community, but today, as I'm in Orlando, I really want to focus on your political activism. So before I share, I'll share how I fell into politics, why I fell in love with it at a young age, but then I fell out of love with it, and now I'm back in love with politics. Growing up in South Florida during the 80s and then 1980s and 1990s, there was a lot of unrest and uproar going on in South Florida due to unequal justice and rights for a lot of people, immigrants especially, in the South Florida area. And as I had a family member who was politically active, he was actually considered the Dr. Martin Luther King for a group of people. And growing up as always being his mini-me, his right-hand woman, from the time that I was born, I was always involved in some political activism, from them taking me to different rallies, to going to different events, as well as meeting prominent people. I've had many opportunities to meet diplomats, presidents from other countries, other elected officials from other countries, well-respected individuals in our country. And it really made me fall in love with, that's all I knew. Growing up as a kid, I knew that It was the aura, the perfume, and the atmosphere that you help others, that you are the voice for those who can't speak for themselves. You help those who can't help themselves. And I believe that's kind of probably why I fell into nursing, but realizing in the interim I was a big advocate. When I was taking care of my patients in critical care and cardiac, I was always wanting to fight for their rights, their cause, what was in the best interest for them, not necessarily what was convenient for the nurses or the healthcare providers or what would be convenient for their medical insurance, but it was what would make it best for that patient in order to receive that best care possible. And that's truly how this whole evolution of activism and advocacy came about. So growing up in South Florida, having family members, both sides of my family are very religious. Both sides of my family are very politically active. And it's something in your bones. And what I've come to recently realize is that there are two different legacies that every family has. There's a good legacy and there's a bad legacy. If there's bad legacies in the families, then you definitely want to try to do your best to be the generation that cuts the cord on the bad legacy. But when there are good legacies in your family and through your bloodline, whether you say your ancestors or your immediate family members, whatever they're passionate about, whatever that cause, whatever that drive is in them, most likely that's going to get you too. And so that's my story, how I fell in love with politics, fell in love with advocacy, fell in love with activism, and I fell out of love because of all the hardship that I've seen in other countries, here in America, and just seeing how it tears families, it tears people apart, it becomes a very nasty conversation, it becomes very character degrading, and it wasn't a place where people are built up. Usually it's a place where people are broken down and torn apart, and bad things are said about them or bad things are done to them, but they never really shine light on the good things that people are doing, especially when you're a politician. People say politicians are liars, they're not trustworthy, they're in it for their own gain, they're greedy, but that's not the case because I've met some great politicians throughout my life. And even as I'm located back home in Broward County for a season, that's what I would like to say, for a season, however long that season is, I don't know. That's a conversation me and God have all the time. But what I've come to realize that there are truly some good people who care about the community, who care about what they're doing. They don't become elected officials and politicians just to have that title. They really take it as back in the days when people said they were statesmen, when people said they were public servants. And even the term politician in certain communities in South Florida, they say, no, we're not politicians, we're public servants because we're here to serve the people. So it gives it a different connotation. It makes it more of a positive title and a more positive position. So the reason why I truly believe that we should be politically active is because I've seen it on all levels, from the local level to the state level to the federal level. And my heart goes out, especially what's going on in the minority communities nowadays, with the police brutality, with the healthcare issues, with the education, with the business, the economy. Truly, the only way we can truly change that, especially in the minority low-income status communities, is that we have to speak up. We have to speak up and tell them what our issues are. We have to speak up and tell them what the solutions are to these issues, because it's us. It's us that are being affected by them. Whether you're a minority or whether you live in a certain area in your community, whatever that is, as long as you are a minority, you are affected one way or shape or form compared to your majority counterparts. And what I've come to realize is that one person, one voice can truly make a difference. My uncle was that person. I've met many other people who risked their lives to be that one voice. We have Dr. Martin Luther King, and if you want to go back and you're a follower of Jesus Christ was that one man who had one voice who's changed the world forever. Of course, he was the Son of God, and he was the co-heir with God. But for him as a human being, what he did in the short time that he had on this earth, he lived for 33 years, and he impacted the lives of people in 3 years. In 3 years, he changed the world. And that is a challenge that I give to people today, that we have so many more opportunities to be politically active. We have so many more opportunities to voice our opinions. And even in other countries where freedom of speech is not possible, they have social media, and that's how we're finding out what's going on in the Middle East. That's how we find out what's going on in closed countries, is because social media has become that voice for so many people that are unable to speak, that do not have the media, they don't have the TV, they don't have the news in front of them to tell them what's going on in their community, but they have social media at the fingertips that they're able to spread what good and bad what's going on in their community around the world. And so that's why my passion and heart today was really talking about civic duty and political activism, because if we truly want to change our country, we truly want to change our communities, because it's not necessarily the country per se, it's our communities. If each community focused on what their issues were and they worked as a unified group in order to improve their communities, then our country would be even a greater place to live, work, and play. But unfortunately, because communities are so isolated, are marginalized, are ostracized, that I think that's why we have the friction in our communities, because we're not coming together. In South Florida, in Palm Beach Gardens, unfortunately, a young man lost his life a couple of weeks ago, and it was just an amazing experience to go to a church, Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church in West Palm Beach, and the pastor opened his door, and we had a town hall meeting that was sponsored by a local bar association. And there were elected officials, there were people from the law enforcement, there were the attorneys that are on the case, there were so many different people and so many walks of life that were in that church and saying, we are one voice that's going to make a difference, not just for Corey Jones, as he's the most recent situation that occurred in South Florida. We're speaking for all of them. Trayvon Martin's mother was there, and many other families who have been affected by unlawful, fatal police brutality were also there speaking up on the behalf of what's going on in the communities and how they're coming together as a collective group to say that we're fighting for this and we're going to get to the end of this to make a legislation take place, make sure there's changes in how the polices are being trained, make sure those who are in these kind of acts, that they are investigated with various circumstances that I won't go into, but there's much work going in, but yet it was just a great feeling being in that church because it was the atmosphere. And I was not born in 1960s, but I feel like sometimes I was reincarnated because I feel like this is our modern day civil rights movement. And as we had that opportunity, everyone was on one accord saying something has to be done. We're sick and tired of having our young people lose their lives prematurely, all this innocent blood being shed in our country's grounds. And it was just such a great experience that we all said, you know what, enough is enough. We're gonna actually lead this town hall meeting with action plans, and we're going to actually follow up on these action plans and put a strategic plan in place in order to change our country. And so it was that kind of atmosphere. Now imagine that every community in our nation did just that. Find out what that one passionate issue is in their community and come together, have town hall meetings. And unfortunately, we should not have town hall meetings only when bad things are happening. We should have town hall meetings to just have a pulse on what's going on in our community, to know what's going on, to keep updated on what's going on in so many different levels, so we don't have to wait till a disaster, a tragedy is in place in order for us to come together and say something must be done. And I challenge everyone today, even if you're 16 and 17, the ability to vote is such a powerful thing. Remember that many people lost their lives, many people sacrificed their lives in order for everyone to have an equal opportunity to vote in this nation. It was not just the Black communities that were fighting for civil rights. It was the Jewish communities. It was the Hispanic communities. It was even some Caucasians and people around the world who came together unified in order to fight for us, for all of us to be able to vote. And so even if you're 16 or 17, you can pre-register to vote. And in pre-registering to vote in South Florida, in the Broward County area especially, they're going to have in January 2016, they're going to have a high school voters drive where whether you're 16 or 17 or even if 18, and you can actually get you're actually fully able to register to vote. But even if you're 16 or 17, you can pre-register. And so they said charter schools, private schools, and public schools, and even those who are homeschool are going to have an opportunity to register to vote. But those who are 18 and over, and if you register to vote or you have never registered to vote or you have never voted before, remember that it was people's lives that were shed in order for this opportunity to happen. So do not take it lightly and do not just wait to vote for the presidential election. Yes, we want a president who's going to be able to reflect what our issues are and be able to fight on our behalf, but yet we need to start at the local level. Know who are the city elected officials, the candidates that are running right now. Know their issues. Know how go to their meetings, go to their events, even follow up on them with social media or call them or send them emails and say, what is your platform? How are you going to help the community? What is your action plan? Here are the issues that we feel that you need to address. Here are some of the recommendations that we have in order for you to address these issues. It is a collective group. We should not be giving so much power to elected officials because we are the ones that put them in office. And so they should be working for us, not us working for them. So I say that with all respect because I have a lot of friends and acquaintances that are elected officials or candidates. And so I say that with all humility, but I also say that to challenge us to be more involved in the process. If we educate ourselves enough, it's one thing to vote, but it's another thing to have an educated vote where you know the candidates, you know what their issues, you know what platforms they want to talk about, what issues are they bringing to the table, you know who they are as a person. Are they really going to follow through on what they say they're going to do? Are they really going to work with the community? Are they just saying this because it's election season? So it's some of those things that we have to educate ourselves as much as possible and not just go with the majority or not just go with what everyone else is doing. We have to realize that it's a responsibility of every individual who's 18 and over in this country to take the opportunity to be an educated voter, knowing what the issues are, knowing where you stand on those issues, and know how to vote for them. And if you are not happy with something, find a way to get politically active. There's so many opportunities. There's civic organizations. There's political organizations. There's social justice organizations. There's ways that you can get involved in the boards and the advisory boards and the committees in your city, in your county, in your state, in your region. You just have to find ways to get involved. Find what that issue is. What is that one thing you're passionate about that you said enough is enough, and every time you think about that issue, it upsets you. And for me, it was just I was sick and tired of hearing of all these innocent people losing their lives due to due to the wrongful ways that the police were handling these unlawful arrests and unlawful situations that led to fatality, which is unfortunate in our country. And I respect law enforcement. I know a lot of law enforcement personally as well as professionally, and there are many great law enforcement officers out there, but yet there are very few as well that are making it challenging for our people to be safe in going out in the community. Even on our schools, the mass shootings. When I was at the church and I was sitting next to a woman who had, she brought about three or four other young men with her, and two of them were her sons. And during this town hall meeting for Corey Jones, she started weeping. And it was a weep that hit me to my core. It wasn't something just, oh, you hear someone crying and you try to console them. It was something that really hit my spirit. And I was like, what happened? And she said, he could have been my son. I have two young boys I'm trying to raise. How can I raise them in a society like this? And my heart was broken because I was like, wow, you know, I don't have kids yet, but imagine if I had sons, how would I feel? And I asked my friends that who have sons, whether they're small or whether they're grown adults. I said, how do you feel? How do you keep your mind at peace to know that you have a young son who's a minority that unfortunately that may be him one day, or that could be him? What would you do? How were you protecting yourself? And so I think it's opportunities where we need to make initiatives in the community where we have partnerships with the law enforcement to come into the communities and do community events, come out to the communities and support the community efforts and the community events that are taking place so they can build that trust and that relationship with the law enforcement. The law enforcement can understand the people better that they represent, because if it's a Caucasian law enforcement officer who's policing a minority community, he may not understand the demographics or understand the dynamics of the community, or vice versa. It could be a minority law enforcement officer who's in a white community, and he may not truly understand the dynamics of that community. So it's building that relationships and building that respect and rapport with each other that we're able to have a more unified community. We have opportunities where hopefully that police officers would not be afraid of young black men especially, or even young black men or even minorities not being afraid of police officers, that there'll be that trust there. So as we think about, while I'm here in Orlando, I'm just really fired up to say that we need to encourage people to be more politically active. We need people to take on the responsibility of their civic duties, because to truly make this nation continue to be such a great nation that it is, it's not just our elected officials, it's not just our president, our Senate, and our House representatives, all these other different people. It's the constituents, it's the people in the nation. Remember what our forefathers built this nation upon. They built it for the people. That's what the Constitution says. And so we need to remember that. We need to know our rights. We need to be educated. And I challenge those who are legal professionals, if you're an attorney, that you should do pro bono services and go out into your communities and educate your communities what their legal rights are. As they get stopped by a police officer, how should they respond? If they have a legal matter, how are they able to deal with it in order that they can be educated? Because unfortunately, some minority young men don't know the true protocol when you are stopped by a police officer. And so now, because of their negligence or because of the lack of knowledge, now their lives are at risk, and some of them are losing their lives in such horrible ways. And so I think it's just something that we truly have to find ways that people in our communities, we need to pull our resources together, pull our skills and talents together to really help build our communities, because it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a village to raise a great nation. It's not just going to be on the elected officials or our nation, or the leaders in our country. It's going to take every village, every community, in order to make that possible. And so today I challenge you all to, as we think about the election coming up in 2016, when we think about all these different things taking place, that we have to realize that it should not be during the elections that we are so excited and find out what's going on in communities, and then people are saying, well, this is my issue, this is my issue. This should be year-round that we're involved in our communities. It should be year-round that we should be involved in our legal system. It should be year-round that we should know what the issues are in the community and how we can address them and who our candidates are, who our elected officials are. We should not wait till election, because when we wait to election time to get educated and to get politically active, it is way too late. It is way too late by that time. So before 2015 ends, I challenge you, if you are not registered to vote, go out and register to vote. If you are not understanding who your candidates are that are running in your local races, find out who they are. Educate yourself from that. If you are not politically active or you're not in a civic organization, find an organization that connects with what you're passionate about and get involved, because truly it takes everyone to make this work. It's not just going to be just a small group of people. It takes everybody to make sure that we can make our nation a great nation, and that we can make sure the people who will represent the people well will be in office. It won't be the people who are just in it for their own gains or selfish needs or whatever the issues may be of why they're going to office. We want people who will truly serve the people, who will truly be public servants and go beyond just being a politician or an elected official. They'll be the ones to say, hey, I'm here for my community. I'm going to go out into my community, find out what the issues are, and be with my community and work with my community, not work against my community, not think my community thinks I'm working for them, but I'm not. No, we are working together. We come hand in hand in order to build each community to be what it needs to be and to have every person's rights be respected, to have every constituents need to be addressed. And the only way we can do that is through political activism. The only way we can do that is through civic duties. So whatever you are passionate about today, find an organization to connect with. Whatever cause you're passionate about, whatever current event issue you're currently passionate about, stand up. When they have community events, they have town hall meetings, they have these rallies and demonstrations, go out. And even if you're not passionate about that issue or you really don't know what the issue is, the only way to understand something is to be involved in it. So go out to those demonstrations, go out to those rallies, go out to those community events, go out to the town hall meetings and find out what the issues are. And once you find out what the issues are, find out what you're going to do about it. So today, that's truly what my heart is at, because as I'm in Orlando, I just said, you know, it's an opportunity, and I challenge even young people, the young people, adolescents and young adults, to get involved in some way. We need more young adults to be elected officials. We need more young adults to be more politically active, to take on these opportunities, because when we look at it, I can't really quote it, but I would say the average age of an elected official is probably in the 50s. Yes, there are more and more young adults getting involved in becoming elected officials, but I challenge that there should be more young adults being involved in some way. There is not just going to be one Dr. Martin Luther King in our generation. I truly believe there's going to be many Dr. Martin Luther Kings. Are you that person? Are you the person that God has called to be the Dr. Martin Luther King for your community? I had a conversation with someone, and they said, where is our Dr. Martin Luther King for this era? And I said, in God's word, he said, when he leaves, that we will be able to do great and mighty things. I think that's the same thing when I think about Dr. Martin Luther King and all these other major leaders that were in our community way back when. But nowadays, I truly believe there's going to be various Dr. Martin Luther Kings fighting various different issues. But remember, this is a modernized civil rights movement that we are in. And the only way they were able to make change and get things done is because they got involved. They sacrificed, whether it was their time. Even some of them sacrificed their own life and their family. They put their family at risk. So we should not get comfortable and say that we have arrived in our civil rights. We have arrived in our civic duties, because if we continue to be complacent and we continue to be lazy about being involved in politics and doing our civic duties, we're going to lose a lot that people have fought for. There are many legislations that are in place in the Supreme Court, in our local communities, that are at risk. But yet if we don't know about it, it's going to be too late by the time they pass these legislations, they pass these laws, and they overturn certain things that are for our people and to help our communities to grow. So that's what I say is just get involved. Find something to get involved about. Find your passion. And I'm just sitting out here in Orlando, and I'm just amazed at how many Democrats are going to be taking place in Orlando this weekend, that we are truly going to say, these are the issues we're fighting for, these are the candidates that we want to represent us, because we know enough is enough. And it doesn't matter what party you're in. I am a Democrat. I'm proud to be a Democrat. But if you're a Republican, if you are an independent, I will say if you are an independent that you will be unable to vote in the primary elections, because you either have to be a Democrat or a Republican. So please keep that in mind if you are independent, that your vote will not count in the primary elections. But whatever party you are on, find out what the causes are, find out who those candidates are, and even get involved in people's campaigns. I've been involved in four campaigns. I did a campaign for a local councilwoman. I'm somewhat assisting a local city candidate, aiding someone who's running for a House seat, and then looking to help someone else who's running on a local race for a city commissioner. So I say, find out how you can be involved. There's so many different things, and there's no excuse. There is no excuse at all, because there's too much out for us to do in our communities. And if we continue to wait and sit on the sidelines, then we're going to say, what happened? And I don't want that to be me, because I've been through too much and sitting on the sidelines saying someone else is going to do it. My elected officials are there to support me. And that was not the case during the economic crash. It was every man for his own, survival of the fittest. And I promised myself after I recovered from that I would not allow that opportunity to happen to me again or happen in this country, as long as I do my part and find a way to get involved. That I do my part to say, what can I do, even though I'm one person, one voice? Imagine if each of us realized that we were that one voice. Then collectively, we'll be such a bigger voice and be able to do so much more in our communities. So that's what I would say today. I know I keep rambling on, but I'm just so excited. I'm actually standing up, looking out the window of this hotel, because I just can't sit down, because there's so much that needs to be done. And there's a big need that needs to happen to awaken people to say, you have to find what your civic duty is and get involved. You have to find what political activism you want to tap into and do that. Because 2016 is going to be a major election on so many different levels, not just the candidates or the gender of the candidates or the party of the candidates, but the issues that are on the table. There are some major issues on the table. And no matter how old or young you are, you will be impacted one way or another. If we continue waiting the sidelines, Social Security will be an issue. If we continue to wait on the sidelines, healthcare, equality. As a nurse, it hurt me to know that there were some people that had to go to the ER to get their primary care done. And as a critical care and cardiac nurse, there would be patients who did not have a primary doctor. So every time they had an issue, they had no way to get help until it was too late, and they were sitting in critical care or cardiac care trying to get assistance that they could have got that could have been prevented if they had a primary doctor. If they had someone that was following up on their care because they had a chronic condition or they had a condition they never knew about. I remember there was this one patient. She was 18 years old. She was a straight-A student. One of her parents was incarcerated, and the other parent was on low socioeconomic status. She was one of the brightest in her school, and this was in North Carolina. And she had a congenital heart defect that was never diagnosed. And due to that, it brought a lot of complications. And at one point, because of her weight and all the other complications she had going on, she almost died because she needed a heart transplant. But thank God we were able to be aggressive with her care, that we were able to reverse some of the complications that she was having. And so because of aggressive treatment that she received, she was able to live. But in the interim, while she was at the hospital, her principal came to visit her. All her teachers came to visit her. Even people who weren't her teachers came to visit her. All her classmates came to visit her, and those who knew her at the school came to visit her. And as I was taking care of her, no one wanted to go in her room. And when I would go in and take care of her, my heart would be broken, because I say this young girl had a congenital heart defect at the age of 18 is now finding out that she had a congenital heart defect. If she had access to quality care, this would have been diagnosed a long time ago. She would not be in this situation. And it was there that I said that I have to make sure that I do my best outside of the hospital walls in order to make sure that people have access to quality care. And then another situation when I was a healthcare provider was that it was a young lady who was from another country. She didn't speak English, and she had two kids, and she was being domestically abused by her spouse. But because she had no physical bruises on her when she came to the ER, and it was in the middle of the night, so there was no social work, there was no way to get her community resources or help her to find a safe place to go. And I'd never been in that situation before, and I'm not from North Carolina, so I didn't know what resources were there for her. And they sent this woman back home with her two kids. She was not working. She just came to the country. as an immigrant, and she was being domestically abused. And that's when I said enough is enough, and being in the hospital, and I wanted to go out and be involved in my community. I wanted to find out how can we change legislation to protect people. Because I kept saying to myself, as the first case, and this young woman had died because she didn't get access to quality care, and she had a congenital heart defect, and she was such a bright young woman. What would this world have lost because she lost her life at a young age? Or what would it be like for this lady who did not speak English, being abused by her spouse, and she didn't get the service she needed, and she would have died at the hands of her spouse? I never knew what happened to both of them, but it hurt my heart to know that I had to do more. I had to find ways to be more involved. So today I challenge you all once again, find a way to get involved in your community. Find a cause that you're passionate about and fight for it. Be that one voice. But most of all, educate yourself and be an educated voter. And when it comes time for election, make sure you are there. There's many ways that you can cast your vote, especially in Broward County, Florida. But don't just think of the presidential candidate. Think of the presidential election. Think of the local elections and your local candidate, because it's at the local level that will impact you the most. So I'm off my soapbox about civic duty and political activism, but I'm truly passionate about getting the word out in my community to let them know that we have to do something, we have to get involved, and it starts with us. So my name is Fayola Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. We will resume back to our weekly schedule of 2 p.m. Eastern Time, but today, nope, it's not 2 p.m. It was 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time that we had our show. I'm going to get back and get ready for this State of Florida Democratic Convention. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend. And Orlando looks pretty beautiful outside, so I think we're going to have a great weekend. You guys take care. Enjoy. Bye-bye.